It is the stuff of spy movies and edge-of-your-seat thrillers. On the run from the mob, pulled from your home in the middle of the night, changing cities and constantly looking over your shoulder for threats you were told were right behind you. Pauline Dacon lived that growing up, and her truth is stranger than fiction. It's all in her new book, Run, Hide, Repeat, a memoir of a fugitive childhood. Dacon is a former Telegraph Journal and CBC reporter. She currently teaches at the University of King's College. Good morning, Pauline.
Hi, Hans.
You know, as I've been reading it, this is a heartbreaking story, and it reads like a surreal mystery, but it's about your very personal relationships. Was it hard for you to share?
Yes and no. You know, it took a lot. This was a story that there'd been a drumbeat of don't tell, you can't tell, don't, you know, this secretive life that, you know, I was very much a part of for a period of time. So the act of telling just felt strange. And of course, I had to think a lot about what would the reaction be in terms of people I knew, but also for my kids. And, you know, to my great surprise, it has been overwhelmingly positive. There, I've only bumped into one troll who, you know, thinks I'm an idiot for not figured this all out sooner. But nobody's, you know, saying nasty things to my kids. And so I'm feeling good about it.
And I don't want to give too much away, but it's safe to say that it was a long, detailed deception, I guess, that we would categorize it as, that kept you, your brother, your mother moving pretty consistently for your childhood. And you didn't know the real reason for years until revelations at the Bluebird Hotel in Sussex.
In Sussex. And I'm sure lots of people will remember those big lit-up letters of the Bluebird Motel off the highway through Sussex. Yeah, and you know what, Hans? I'm okay with giving everything away because it allows me to talk about, you know, what was really behind that. And I think that's an important part of the conversation.
Okay, well, let's talk about that night in Sussex when your mother had asked you to meet her there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened when you did meet her?
Well, so all my life, these odd things had happened, including, you know, disappearing. We left Vancouver supposedly on vacation and never went back. And then we disappeared again from Winnipeg to St. John when I was 13. And when I was 23 and met my mom at the Bluebird Motel, she said, okay, you're old enough now. I'm going to tell you we've been on the run from the mafia. And there was a very complex story about why that was, how that we came to be targeted. And it wasn't just us. It was a fellow named Stan Sears, who had been a United Church minister and a psychologist, and my mother had encountered him when she went to Al-Anon, when she was trying to, my dad was alcoholic and abusive, and when she tried to leave him, she was very depressed. And so the folks at Al-Anon said, you got to go see this guy named Stan Sears. He's very helpful. And so she went to see him and did counseling with him and got much better and credited him with really saving her life. And he was the fellow who began telling us these stories about the mafia chasing us and these, you know, kidnapping attempts and hitmen and all of these things.
What a strange dichotomy, though, to have him as the savior for your mom, but also instill such terror for her during those years. I would assume she was constantly worried about what was happening, because this was his idea, right? This is what he was telling her.
Yes. So, you know, he had this complex story and an entire cast of characters and an alternate kind of world they sort of jokingly called the weird world, which was both a place where people like my family could go into protective custody to just be safe if they'd been targeted by organized crime. But it was also had a prison system, sort of an off-the-books prison system, where people who were arrested for their involvement with the mob they'd be tried by military tribunals and then sent to this prison inside in the weird world and never heard of or seen again. And, you know, the story included things like doubles, body doubles and things. And yes, it was weird. And yes, my first reaction is, are you crazy? I was a young reporter at the Telegraph Journal in St. John when this all came out to me. And yet, Stan and my mom, Ruth, were the two most trustworthy people I knew. They had been there for me all my life. I knew they both loved me. My mother's highest value was honesty. I just thought, well, boy, if they're lying to me, like, what's the point of anything? So I had to believe them, and I let my heart kind of lead the way.
Why do you think your mother believed it?
My mother had a very difficult life, and had any man she ever encountered in her life, including her dad and then her husband, had been abusive to her in some way. And she met this guy, Stan Sears, who was counseling her in a most difficult time of her life. She was very vulnerable. He was helpful to her. He became a great support to her. And ultimately, they fell in love. And she admired him so much, and she couldn't believe that he would make this up. She just couldn't accept that it wasn't real. And when I discovered, in fact, it wasn't real and confronted first her and then him, she just couldn't imagine that it wasn't. And she said to me, I've seen so many things that you don't know about, and, you know, it is. And she was so worried that if I let my guard down, that I would be harmed.
Do you see it as a form of abuse, or because he was ill that it wasn't quite to that step?
Yeah. Well, in the process of writing this book and doing research, I stumbled on an article, a paper in a medical journal, and as I read it, explosions were going off in my brain, and I thought, that's it. That's what Stan was suffering from, a condition called delusional disorder. And it allowed me to say, oh, thank God, he didn't mean my family harm. It was not malicious. He was sick, and completely believed all of this stuff he was making up. And the interesting thing about this condition is that these people appear completely normal in every other way. They have a delusion, but they call it a non-bizarre delusion. And I know, hence you're saying, this is really bizarre stuff, and that's true. But the delusion is something that could be real. It may be odd, but it could be real, as opposed to things like, you know, having to wear tinfoil hats so the space aliens don't send you messages. That's bizarre. Being chased by the mafia is not. So, yeah, to know this man, you would never guess that there was something like this wrong with him.
So it's almost like there's two periods of your life, before you knew and then after you knew, why there was so much upheaval in your life. Are you able to process how that childhood affected you moving so often?
Yeah, I mean, I've spent a long time, for a long time, I just tried to forget about it and move on and, you know, raise my family and all of those things. But in the process of writing this book, it was so helpful to me because I was able to process that and come out the other side, sort of letting go of my anger and resentment about all of that, but also realizing the effect it had on me. And I think it put distance between me and other people. It made me feel very isolated. Even before I knew what was going on, I knew my family was different and odd, and it just made me feel quite alone. And that's one of the fantastic things about this, is that now I feel I'm honest and I have no secrets, and my relationships will be the richer for that.
And what do you want your children to take away from your experiences?
I want them to know, so I'm really proud. Really, they're part of the reason I wrote this. I wanted them to have a deeper understanding of all the forces that were at play. I didn't want them to just be mad at these people who, you know, did these things to me and my brother, because they loved my mom and they were close to her. And I'm really proud that they have got a complexity of thinking where they can look at this story and say, they can feel compassion for my mom and for me. So I want them to take away that, you know, things are not always as they seem. People are sometimes dealing with things you can't imagine. And nothing is black and white. So you can't, I don't want them to look at this and say they were bad and you were good, or, you know, black and white thinking leaves you, you know, angry. I want them to see things in many shades of gray, and I think that they have. I think that they get it.
Pauline, we're only able to scratch the surface here. It's a fascinating read. I'm so glad you could share it. Thank you.
Great to talk to you, Hans.
Pauline Dakin teaches journalism at the University of King's College. She is the author of Run, Hide, Repeat, a memoir of a fugitive childhood, published by Penguin Random House Books.